to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Hello, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is a pre-recorded interview for September 27th, 2016. As many of you know, we are all really going through some massive expansion right now, not only cosmically, but really within. And I have talked to some of what I consider to be some of the most enlightened people that I know of that are truly going through what they would call feeling like they're going through a washing machine. Anything that is within you that is not aligned with these higher pristine energies is really coming to the surface. So don't feel alone if that's what you're going through, because we are all in this together. And the sooner we let go, I think that's one of the biggest things, is letting go, and letting go of perceptions of being alone, letting go of perceptions of what we need to think we have to be, all of these things of we take it so seriously, our roles as light workers across the world. All of this is being challenged by us right now. Even a whole new set of lenses on how we see ourselves playing in this transitional role, because we are the transition, folks. So today I cannot think of a more perfect individual to interview, none other than Liara. And you can find her on Facebook and just type in L-I-A-R-H-R-A. Is that correct?
It's L-I-A-H-R-A.
A-H-R-A. I put one extra R in there. Sorry, folks. So it's L-I-A-H-R-A. And you can go ahead and pull that up while you're listening. She's an absolutely profound individual. I've spoken to her many times. And in fact, we both realized that we were coordinating in a lot of the missions that we're doing behind the scenes. That's essentially how we got brought together, by a mutual friend, none other than Fran. who was the prior assistant to Simon Parks. Many of you probably know about her. So to give you a little background on Liara, she is a soul streaming interpreter. And funny enough, she says, "I feel like a mom to everyone on the planet." She is beyond the void of conscious gold stream. And she feels that she is inside the body of God itself, however you want to define that, in the jugular, on the way to the heart. And she came here from the future. She did not come here from an actual planet, and has come into our past 240 million years ago, folks, with a specific soul group. And she is here today as a sort of librarian of conscious streaming of information and Akashic records from the ship. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how she does that. She's extremely gifted and very, very different in her perspectives. And this is one of the reasons why I really wanted to pull her on to Galactic Connections interview today. So, Liara, I hope I did a decent enough job introducing you, as there is no bio of you up there at all. But welcome, and thank you for coming on today.
That's great. It's great to be here. I'm a bit sort of flustered. I've never done any. I've not been allowed to do any of these before. So it's a new moon today, or the eclipse today. So I suppose we've got to get on and do it.
Well, and just so everyone knows, when Liara and I spoke earlier, we were talking about a lot of the amazing ancient information that she has to share regarding the role of women on this planet. And we both agreed that I would be a good conduit to, you know, present that to the world through the Galactic Connection interview channel. And so doing, I ended up getting a message a couple days ago that I had to interview her today, which was very interesting. So, Liara, I would like to start with, if you could just give people a little bit, you know, just maybe just a few minutes of how you see yourself right now in this matrix.
In this matrix as a system buster?
Yes.
A virus cleaner?
Yes.
A rewriter of programming, because only the ones that originally created and was part of the creation of this, not the matrix, but the actual original Earth and system, could come in and fix it. We didn't want to come in, but we came in anyway.
And have you done this before?
The group that I'm part of, we have done it many, many, many times. But this time, this system is very different and very unique.
And how is that? Tell me exactly, how do you feel it's so unique from the other so-called experiences that you've had doing this sort of thing?
Oh, I'd have to go right back to how my group started, and you're part of this group. A lot of the light workers, if not most of them, are source, come from this part of source, where we see planets and we seed our conscious memories and our conscious DNA into, it's almost like an egg, a bubble, and we put it through, open up time portals, and we send them out into the void, and they create themselves into universes. And then now, in every million of years, some of our group go into those systems to see how they've developed, and they are the things and the creatures and the beings that have developed are part of us. So they're like our children, and we go and develop. But unfortunately, what happened with this system that we're in, we wanted to try something new. We wanted to try what would happen if we gave free will, for the beings to have free will. So when we came back in millions of years later and opened the portal up and went, because it's a free will system, we didn't know it was going to happen, that duality had been created here. So as we opened up our white hole to go through, a black hole on the other side opened up, and the opposite version of us came in, because it's a unique system. So it had to have this, is that balance, this universe. So as we came in as light beings, darker entities came in as well at the same time.
Fascinating.
So we almost feel responsible for what's going on, even though it's part of the experience that we wanted to create here.
Absolutely fascinating. I've never heard it described that way, and I thank you for that. You've talked a little bit about how
You yourself can relate to being a guardian, which is another reason that we connected. And you were saying that we actually felt a debt to the Lyrans. Can you talk a little bit about the Lyrans? Because they're very near and dear to my heart, as well as many others that are listening.
Yeah. Life, when we came in, life was being experienced on many planets in the system, but conscious life, as we know, as we are now, but maybe a bit more conscious than what we are right now, had developed on a system in Lyra. And because we decided to go there first, the dark followed us there and created and got jealous and created a war because we weren't paying any attention to them. And because we had landed on the planet and we were teaching our knowledge to them to give them the next step on their ascension, and they were about to ascend when the dark came and basically destroyed the planet. So we opened up another portal, we disappeared, and we could see our stream soar into the future, and we knew what was going to happen. We took our soul stream to Tiamat.
Jeez.
And we knew that they'd follow us there as well, because we saw the path way ahead. We saw all the different options, and we hooked ourselves into Tiamat, knowing that that would be destroyed. And we went there to collect the souls that were there. And this is all doing it in future timelines and different in the future and in the past. So when we open portals up, we can be anywhere within time. Mm-hmm. And when Tiamat got destroyed, we had held such a large group of us together in a part of Tiamat, and we placed it in the past into the Goldilocks part, and this became us, the beginnings of Earth, and we've stayed with this planet ever since.
Wow. Now, going back a bit, because boy, did you just share a lot of information. Now, when you said landing on the planet, in what form did we present ourselves when we landed?
It's like the stream that we come from, it's like if you can imagine honey, and it's made out of light, and it's alive, and it's glistening, and it's conscious. That is how we landed. It's a conscious stream of liquid light.
So we didn't actually become lion beings or anything like that, or giants that were 14, 18 feet tall. We were just...
They were part of what had already developed from our conscious DNA stream packet that we'd sent to Lyra and set into this system. It's just that Lyra happened to develop first.
Okay. Now, you said something to me the other day that was absolutely just mind-blowing. Describe to the audience how you perceive the guardians.
We're almost like parents, and we watch the children growing, and we've protected this planet, and we've taken it in what we call a time lock, and when the time was right, we unlock it, but we guide them and we live it with them as them. So we're learning with them, because we've never done this before either. And but we've seen ahead of time. We know what's coming.
Wow. God, that is so beautiful. Now, do you feel that that is one and the same as the ancient builder races?
The ancient builder race were what... Another, because we've done this in many systems and many galaxies. When a galaxy has ascended all its planets, it ascends itself, and then it starts to do what we do. It starts to develop unique galaxies and experiments of its own. Well, the Guardian race came from a part of time space that had reached its conclusion and decided to go through the system to see what else was there.
Wow. So when you say that when we went through the white portal and we actually opened up a black portal as well, do you feel that that was the same as the fall from grace?
No.
No. Two different things.
How so?
Well,
the fall from grace, people use English and use terms that trying to explain a concept that you can't explain.
Okay.
So words can be completely misused and misinterpreted. It wasn't a fall. We jumped. We came intentionally knowing exactly what was going to happen. So, but what was unique on this planet were most conscious beings, when the they live on planets, have all the chakra systems in the right place. But because we was, they knew, they didn't know where the guardian race had gone, where we'd gone, even though we cloaked ourselves within this planet. And we helped the life form as a seed part, the only bit left of a seed planet to develop. So the fall was when we, the creation got so far on this planet and civilization came and it got wiped out and it kept going and wiped out and going and wiped out. And then the other dudes, the dark race, had found this planet and decided to come. Well, it's free will. We couldn't stop them coming. But what we could do is protect the people from them being tapped into so much. So the chakra system was separated.
Wow.
And yes, put within the body to protect, so they weren't given the amount of energy, and because it was so innocent, to the dark side that knew exactly what they were doing. And we incorporated as soon, and we, it was a system. They say it's a trap down here. It's not a trap. It's purposely created. So anything that we do on the micro on Earth has an effect outside of this time space. So every time a being came or a race of beings came, they, the soul group got incorporated within the planet to work out the karma here on one spot, rather than to have a massive universal galactic battle.
Wow.
Each one of us have come from all over the system, and we've all come here to sort it out until we get it sorted.
Oh my God. And so, of course, I know that the guardians come from the future. They've come back here in time, just from my own messages, to definitely serve Mother Earth, to actually assist her at this time. Can you describe a little bit about how you see the being herself, the Mother Earth herself? What kind of condition do you feel that she's in at this time?
She's in great condition. She's all of us. When everyone thinks of your higher self or your ascended self or your higher consciousness, they look outside the planet. They don't go into the planet to see that's where it is. We are her. We are part of her. But as she's mainly female, the females on this planet have got more key codes. It's not saying that the men haven't got it. They're just women can hold that vibration and use that. Almost, it's, I won't call it power, but the things that we can do better. And that's why the females are being had been shut down in the past, and now we're coming forward and we've got an important role to play. But the planet herself, she's fine.
And I wanted you to, you know, to share that, because you and I've talked about this, because there's so much fear porn out there about the up and coming shifts and changes. And I, could you talk a little bit about that, as far as how do you see this trend? I know you can't predict things, or nor do you want to, but how do you see the transition of this planet taking place as we begin to move out of a less corrupt, for example, political system?
Well, that's just an overlay. It's like, I can, if you, most people will understand how their computers work. The planet, if you can think of her as a conscious quantum computer, and she's got a virus, and the virus has been running everything, and nobody knows how to fix it. And even the ones that put the program in, we're using somebody else's program, and they don't know how to fix it. We've come in to fix the program and delete it. And what's happening with the vibration of the planet, we're connecting up to the Ethernet. Which should go through all the suns in this system, which will go to the portal when it opens, back to the soul source stream, which created this universe experience, and hook up, almost like we're hooking up to the main server, and that energy code gets transmitted through the sun into the sun and the heart of the planet, gives us the new codes. And it's almost like the, when you've done an update on your computer, you have to shut it down and start it up, and everything starts up afresh with the new codes up and running and the virus completely gone.
That is such a confirmation of information that I received, Liara, about my site when it was brought down. And I was given information that I didn't totally understand, but they kept saying, no worries, you're going to start receiving battery, juice, support, you know, energies to keep the site going no matter what they pull, because it'll be coming from a different source. Mm. And so you've just really nailed it for me. Thank you for that. So going back to the time lock. Now, are you saying right now that we have been in a time lock?
Yeah.
Okay. And is this because of the so-called quarantine? Can you go into that a little bit?
It's not a quarantine to keep us in. It's a quarantine to keep everything else out.
Interesting. Wow.
This planet, when we first saved it and we brought it here, we put a bubble like a shield around it, of living light around it, so it could heal itself. And it became what we referred to in all religious texts as the Eden. It wasn't, it was a heaven. Everything was conscious on the planet. And the galactic wall, and we were protected. This is when we were put outside of time and space. But there was battles going on, searching for us, searching for this planet. But as the wars went on and the other planets called out and needed help, we had to take on refugees. We couldn't leave them out there. So we took on lots of souls, more souls. And it was part of the plan anyway. So, it's all complicated, multi-layered, but yeah, we've got so many souls that have put their DNA and their conscious soul stream into this, and we had to include the dark for the balance.
Wow.
We could not exclude them.
Now, when you say the dark were searching for us, there's so many different stories about why. What is your perception on why they've been so-called searching?
They were as curious about the light because we were to the extreme of them.
Very interesting.
You've seen the yin and yang. It's exactly it. The light universe had a bit of dark, and the dark universe had a bit of light, and they couldn't meet.
And so right now the purpose is to bring the two into balance.
Within yourself.
Within ourselves. Okay. Now go back to you said a very interesting statement, which is we moved Mother Earth to this location, which supposedly, according to some, is kind of way out on the outskirts of this galaxy. And I was wondering, how does, first of all, that occur? And secondly, how does the moon fit into this?
Oh, the moon. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. When Tiamat got blown up, we had already sort of anchored ourselves into a huge chunk of the planet of the Tiamat. And because we were still conscious, we could put like a protection bubble round it, round the chunk that we were all gathered in, like a light grid almost. And when it blew up, it propelled us, but we carried on with our consciousness to propel it to the right position. We originally had three other moons, which were also parts of Tiamat, which had souls carried on to them. Two were destroyed in two separate destruction incidents. One was Mu being destroyed, and their first moon fell. And I think the first Atlantis falling was the second moon, and we were left with the last one. And we're out of balance.
Wow. So, I mean, do you feel that you said something else the other day? You said that the only souls that are here right now, I think you said this, the only souls that are here right now are those that are really trying to clean up the karma of Atlantis, that were somehow involved in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people, see, we're doing everything on the micro here. People, what they would think of as Atlantis is something in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Well, that was another replay of the big Atlantis. What we'd think of as Atlantis was Tiamat.
Mm.
It was a water world with some land, and it had aquatic life mainly, but it had some land continents on there, and it was absolutely, you could not describe what that was. And that was the first Atlantis, and that was the first fall that people would think of if they think they've come from Atlantis. They've got memories of that, and they played it out on this planet. And also the Lyrans, because their planet was destroyed, and that was a bigger version of what Tiamat was. So you see, they've done it on a macro, and then it's a bit smaller, and then they brought it here. And we've done it so, played it out so many times to try and clear it up, and now we're doing it within ourselves.
And that explains the disease and the lack of healthiness is really just a microcosm of that horrific event where, you know, the actual planet exploded, or the people were brought to a place of destruction.
Mm.
Right?
So lots of souls from Lyra went into the past, and some went into the future. Some went into Pleiades and started off Pleiades, some went into the Sirian system. They scattered everywhere throughout time and space. But they're like, it's like salmon when they go back to the spawning ground. And because there's no Lyra left, but all the dust has landed here.
Unbelievable.
And every bit of dust holds a soul particle.
Wow. So this is truly why all eyes are on us. And why all of these, would you agree that there are a multitude of galaxies and universes?
Out of the time bubble, it's infinite.
It just never stops.
It never stops.
Just like you can't, you just continue to go to that which is smaller than a grain of sand, and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So now back to the time lock, which I'm very interested in. I know I do a lot of timeline work, and I'm curious to hear from you. How are we breaking free of that time lock? Do you feel that we have A, already done that, and B, if so, how did we go about it?
We're still in the process of doing it. It's almost like since 2009, we moved so far forward in the time lock to unlock it, but we didn't quite do it. No civilization trying to undo this time lock has got past 2012.
Wow.
We've got past 2012, so it shows you how far ahead, but we're still looping backwards in our... This is why people, we've got different time streams going at the same time. And every time we get a bit so far forward and something happens and we've got a stumbling block, we'll go backwards again and we'll do it again. And then we'll go backwards again and we'll do it again until we move forward, until we get to the point where everything and everybody is in the right place, saying the right thing, doing the right thing, having this right thought, and then it unlock.
That's really interesting. That really resonates with me. I came back from a 30-day mission in Virginia and Maryland, and one of the things that kept coming up and the messages that kept coming up was merging. I was actually assisting in timelines, merging some of the real catastrophic things such as the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and Atlantis.
Yeah, so we had a bit of a dilemma because it's free will zone and we're not changing that. We wanted to see what would happen. But the thing is, we're all conscious creators on this planet.
Mm.
So how do we get over where some of the people and conscious creators on this planet want to create Armageddon and World War III? Some want to create this and some want to create that. Well, let's split the timeline.
Interesting. So we're trying to basically, if you looked at the tree of life, for example, and you had a branch and then there's like sub branches off of that, we're trying to
prune the tree.
Prune the tree. So that's what I saw too. That's very confirming. And now you have also spoken with me about the Lion's Gate, that we just got through a very, very empowering energetic wave that started around July 26th. Can you tell me a little bit about how you see that impacting all of us in this planet?
Every time, it's so many different branches and so many different parallel Earths. And every time we shift and we've completed on a parallel Earth and we've got it just right, we'll pull that experience and all those souls into our timeline. And that has a huge effect.
Wow.
It's like Groundhog Day on a galactic scale.
Wow. And did you feel, I'm just curious because I was involved in this, did you feel a major shift on 999?
I did, yes.
And what did you see and feel?
Well, because I do Hold me a minute.
Okay.
Sorry, are you still there?
I'm here.
So can you say the question again? I've lost my train.
I lost my train of thought too. Oh, I just was asking about 999.
Yeah, well, I get activations and I get upgrades every single day because we've got to sort of stay ahead of, like, almost a level ahead of what the normal people, 3D people, are doing, so we can see ahead of the game a little, like a little tiny bit. So every time I feel a shift, I know a new merge has happened, a new group of souls have completed on their ref and they've come here to merge with their other selves to give them more. Because every time we level up, we're merging a completed Earth timeline version of ourselves that's got it. Sometimes it'll be a negative one that's died in a battle on trying to play out its Armageddon. It will come back to us because we're on the main trunk of the tree.
Interesting.
And that's what we're getting all the time, plus the consciousness coming through as we're getting the dial-up connected, the Ethernet connected from Source through all the suns, through our sun. We're getting that all the time as well.
Wow. So all of these articles that talk about how we're down to, say, you know, four major timelines, do you disagree with that?
I think it's three.
Okay.
Well, I've been working on three.
And I'm just going to ask you, are you looking at Atlantis, Lemuria, and something else? Are you looking actually,
I'm not giving them names. We have the what I do is like most of us, we work in our sleep, in our dream time. We're almost doing every single constant minute we're trying to sleep. We're off doing something else. We will go into a lower vibration, not a negative timeline, but where people are playing out their karma and their Armageddon scenarios and their coming of the next Jesus scenarios and the battle scenario, everything they've got to play out, we will go there. And we will see the ones that have had enough of the fighting and the killing and see if they're ready to come back to merge. If not, some groups are taken back to Source and not killed, you know, never killed off, but recycled. And that is the end of the aspect of them. The ones that are ready, we'll bring them back and then we'll merge them with themselves that are on this timeline. But sometimes in cases of what we're doing on this actual timeline, in cases of children and people that have died in a horrific way, that have been abused by the dark and they don't want to stay on this timeline, we will rescue them and we will take them to the timeline, the positive timeline, to the new Earth.
Which is how you and I were talking the other day. That's exactly what I was involved in when I was in Virginia and Maryland. And it is not an easy thing. And I do want to kind of bring that out for all the other light workers as well as guardians that are doing this sort of work. Would you agree that we are essentially going into these timelines trying to find the ultimate beginning point, the point of creation of that timeline that brought so much destruction,
yeah,
and trying to find the original players that brought that destruction,
yeah,
forward, and then bringing them either back to the light or they go back to Source.
Yeah. Well, it's like everyone thinks that Source or God or whatever are going to be doing the sorting of the wheat and the chaff. It's not. We have to physically do it ourselves.
Yes.
So many of us are doing that job. We're doing it in dream time, in the lower aspect of Earth. We're doing it in physical, on this aspect where so many souls have got trapped here in the 4D artificial hell and heaven matrix. We're releasing them from that. And with our galactic brothers and sisters who are able to help us, they are taking them to the higher up version of Earth. Once we've cleaned up this place, that's where everybody will be transitioning. It's not like we're going, we'll merge this planet, then we'll be ready to merge with that one.
Interesting. And are you in agreement that there will be a percentage of that us that will go first? Or do you feel that it's all going to happen, all souls will move together at the same time?
We'll all move. The ones that are trapped are saying that aren't got bodies at the moment. They're already there. We're taking them there ourselves. Lots of teams on this planet. There's a group called Team Light in Sedona, I know they did Salem, and they've been going around all around the world doing it. Same job as what me and you both been doing, basically bringing the souls with us and transitioning them, so right. They don't get trapped again. So they go to the next stage, ready for us to join them.
Right on. So do you feel that we will join them in body, or once we actually have a physical death?
No, it will be in body. This is a physical planet. This is the physical body we're in. As the vibration of this planet gets higher and higher and higher, we will slip into that almost overlay of the higher vibration planet. We will merge with it. It's almost like an etheric overlay, like if you can imagine a globe of gold conscious light with all the souls in it ready. But to them, they're on a physical planet, but then they're in a higher aspect that we will move up to merge with them, because we will be resonating at that vibration.
And that's a key statement right there, is we tend to talk a lot about dimensions and levels of consciousness, but in reality, the simplification of that is essentially whatever vibration you are holding and resonating will be where you end up being.
Yeah.
And do, you know, basically, it, in my opinion, at least, it seems like as you raise your frequency, there will be certain people that will just kind of drop off your radar. It doesn't mean that they disappeared in reality. It's just that they're not going to be within that bandwidth.
Yeah. And this is where what I call the lower earth, middle earth, and the higher earth are. They're in the different bandwidths.
Interesting.
They're still there, but they're not there.
Right.
Now, so when we all get this, the middle ground here, all sorted, and everybody's where they want to be, and we raise up, everybody is still on that older timeline. That, as far as I know, they're going to reset the time lock. And move it to another part of the universe to start again.
Do you agree that the mass consciousness as a whole on planet Earth has risen into like a middle 4D, or do you still feel we're sitting kind of at a lower 4D level?
4D is an artificial construct. We are at 3.5D.
Okay.
4 is completely artificial construct. There is no 4. 4 is just an artificial construct.
Interesting. Now, we
created that. Not us, me particularly, but humans on this planet have created the belief system that when you die, you go up, and when you either go up to this level, or you go to hell, or you go to heaven, or you go to the in-between place. And that's an actual etheric band around the earth.
So isn't this related to, you know, a lot of times people use the word ascension, but isn't it really truly like a descension, where you're becoming more, what's that word? More amalgamated within your own inner being.
Yeah.
Okay.
And plus the planet is higher consciousness inside the planet. It's only where we are on the outer band on the crust of this planet that's resonating in 3.5D. And in the ethers, in the sky, higher up, that's where you get the lower 4, middle 4, and higher 4. Then you've got a massive band round. And it goes right up to the 15th dimensional level. And that's the time lock.
Fascinating.
Slowly, we're closing that down. The 5 is pushing and absorbing the higher 4, and the earth is raising from the core to the ground and raising that. So we're squeezing the 4 completely out.
Interesting. So the 5, 6, 7, 8 on up, those are not artificial constructs?
No.
Okay. Just the 4.
Just the 4. And it's a slither.
And just a slither. And now that reminds me of some information that I received, where we were in a fairly serious situation that if we were not capable or not able to lock this down, this fourth dimension band, that those souls that were residing on planet Earth would actually, that fragment of our soul or that fragment of our beingness would be literally locked within this third, fourth, fifth dimension. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, this is why all the light workers are working so hard at night time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you've had dreams of being on a bus or being on a train or on a plane and you're escorting souls, it's exactly where you're taking them from.
Very interesting. And now here's a great question for you. It is being said that there are actually land masses outside the seven continents on planet Earth, and that this is actually something that we have been veiled from seeing or knowing. Do you have any comment on that?
I've not heard anything about that.
Okay. I was just curious. And now going back to the 3.5, that's something that Anna Hayes had spent quite a bit of description on, which was Agartha was at the 3.5 dimensional level. Are you saying that we are actually merging with Agartha? Are we actually on the same timeline as her, as it?
Well, Agartha has been resonating at high vibration forever, and it's really hard for them to come up to the surface because it's almost like a pressure barrier between us. So if they've come up, they've got to go through pressurization to get them to lower their vibration to come up to the surface, and vice versa. But a lot of the merging that's doing on the sacred sites are like workers going around raising the vibration, doing the organizing, and doing the conscious streaming of their own soul into the earth. We're actually creating pressure points like acupuncture needles where we're releasing the pressure so the volcanoes don't blow.
And the earthquakes don't happen.
But all the loud noises that people are hearing is some of these openings depressurizing.
That is so, I'm so glad you brought that up, because so many light workers are really working hard on anchoring and holding these very specific locations so that all of these earthquakes, volcanoes, even hurricanes, they have been staved off by so many people around the world. I really want to honor all of them.
So you've got to understand, it's like if you've got an egg and you've got the yolk in the middle, and then you've got the two openings at the top, a tiny little opening at the top and bottom, and you start pumping all this extra energy into it, but the surface has got a barrier over it of a different vibration. It will explode that egg. As the pressure builds, so the light workers are opening the portals with their own soul stream to equalize that pressure, because they're streaming it directly from source down. So there being little acupuncture pressure points where they're releasing it slowly, and lots of light workers around the planet add up to a lot of release. And this is why a lot of planets have exploded,
yeah,
destroyed themselves because of the pressure building.
That was an excellent, I just want to commend you. That was an excellent description, so people can really wrap their brains around it. That's awesome. Now, getting back to sleep, that we do a lot of work in our sleep time state, many of us are noticing that we just can't sleep more than maybe 2 to 4 hours a night. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with
that? I know about that. The nights where we sleep a lot is because we're doing a lot of work in the astral, or we're doing it under the timelines. That when we're actually awake and we can't sleep like I have been all week, it's because we're holding the conscious ground so the people around our bubbles of influence can sleep without being influenced.
Interesting, because boy do I have insomnia.
That's why we're called guardians, because we guard the consciousness, because while people sleep, that's when they're the most vulnerable, if they're not awakened. So we stay awake and we hold the stream of consciousness while they sleep peacefully and get their downloads as we do it in their sleep gently, and they're not influenced and hijacked.
Beautifully. Oh my God. Now, if that's not helping people have a little bit more peace of mind when they do have insomnia, I don't know what would. Seriously. That's a great feeling.
One of my clients brought up yesterday about, she wanted to know why she couldn't remember her dreams and what she does, and she felt isolated and left out of things, that she wasn't important and she didn't feel like she was doing anything. Could I comment on that? So can I answer that one?
Well, please do.
From what I've observed and I know, a lot of us work on the ship or we work in the astral, and there is a conscious points in these ships where when we go to these ships, we do our missions and we come to, as we're coming back into our physical body, we leave our memories on the ship purely so we don't get hacked, because obviously we all know there's psychic spies that can tap into anybody and know what we've been doing and what we are doing. So we leave all our params there. We leave our memories on ship so we can't get hacked. So we could basically be caught and have psyops on us and they can't get anything.
I can certainly relate to that. I hear that over and over again, because you just get so frustrated that you can't get all the information when you go out on conscious missions. Okay, I know we're doing it all the time, but it can get...
I find I get mission updates about 2 or 3 months after they've happened, even though I don't know at the time that they've happened, and I get tiny snippets, but not enough for anyone to get any useful information from me. But I will, after it's completed and nothing can be done, and the other side can't time jump and it's closed off that bit, because we can time lock it, so they can't change what we've already done.
Boy, can I relate to that. Thank you for that too.
It's like the missions we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we time lock after we finish, so they can't go back and change it.
Right on. Because I actually thought about that. We had some major victories in the United States in particular. And that was one of the thoughts I had was, you know, can the dark undo this?
No, because we leave when we've done a mission, we put conscious... I call them bubbles, like conscious bubbles around them, and the high vibe, and they can't even get into them. They've got to become high vibe to change it. And obviously the high vibe people don't go back and change what we've already done.
Well, and now bringing up the dark, I'd like to hear your perspective on the dark. I mean, so many people are talking about the reptilians and the Dracos and the original splicer and dicers of our DNA, the Anunnaki. Can you kind of... expound upon where do you feel we are right now as far as the number of dark players that are really running havoc still on planet Earth?
Now this is tricky. People aren't going to like what I've got to say.
Well, that's okay. You know, we're here.
Once we control our own dark aspects, we won't have any more problems.
Kind of knew you were going to say that.
The dark are just children and can't but be what we present them, we think they're going to be in front of us. They are a mirror, and that's the law of free will. If you're going to be dark, you've got to have a light aspect. You can have a light aspect, you've got to have a dark aspect. They can't help but exist, but you can work with them. They aren't evil. Dark just means opposite to light, and you can work with it. If you need to go into battle in dream time, I will pull my, Brian calls them, his night aspect forward, the ones that have lived lifetimes doing warrior. It doesn't mean it's evil, it just means they've got more courage to do things maybe the light don't want to do. But you work with them together. On your side, you're the middle, you're the balance.
That resonates too. I had one very enlightened soul contact me and said, you know, it's time for us to change the way we perceive the dark, and recognize that they have been just as entrapped as we have. Now, I know you say we haven't been trapped, but that sure is how we all feel.
See, people have lost their concept of how powerful their creation of their thoughts can be. And as soon as they think that person or that thing is dark and that person is evil, they don't give them the space to change. Everything can change if you allow nothing in your aspect, in your bubble, of your own little bubble, to be evil. It can't be. It can't be anything but good. So if you've got a reptilian in front of you and you're sending it nothing but love, and you won't allow it to show any darkness to you, any light, that's all it can be. And you're doing that being a favour. You're showing it's part of itself that nobody's ever seen before, and it's never seen before.
Wow, that's beautiful. Wow. Wow. I'm speechless. So getting back to the souls and the fact that we are, there's so many of us assisting the souls to a different, what do you want to call it, a new earth? Is that what you would call it? A new
earth? Yeah, you could call it that. I would call it a new vibration ready to accept, a new bubble of vibration ready to accept our earth into it.
So at that point, if we are assisting people in trying to help their souls that are like stuck in a certain, you know, location or vibe or whatever, how do you see the fragmentation of the soul? And before you answer, I just want to say this. I do know that there are people that do an immense amount of work in trying to make right on the really horrific things that are being done to souls, like within Los Alamos, for example, or souls within hybrids that have been experimented upon. And, you know, what they'll supposedly do is literally steal the soul of the individual, use it in a deleterious way, and not release it. And I really am curious how you see that.
I try not to focus on anything like that, because coming from a mother, I have fed my children meat, and that's a conscious being. But I also know that's how it was, not how it's always going to be. And when we do move to the high vibe, all of that will be resolved. Because really and truly and utterly, there's only one being here. Until the best thing you can do for anything like that is to bring yourself to the highest vibration you can possibly be. And when you come across a soul that's been tortured or the one that's done torture, and you send it that vibe, a new reminder of who it is.
Very interesting.
Because it's only doing it to itself ultimately in the true scheme of things. Because it's been done, and it's like a baton ball game. I'll hit in one life, I'll do this to you. In another life, you'll do this to me. And work backwards and forwards. And in the end, you've got to take the paddle off and go, look, stop hitting yourself in the face, please. Come on, pull yourself together.
So ultimately, it always gets back to us.
Ultimately, you get back to the bigger picture and look at all. I look at all beings and all people like a mother. And if one child, it's another child, you pull it to the side and you explain to it why it shouldn't be doing that. But if you go into other people's children and you see them fighting and picking on your child, well, you teach your child how to defend itself, or how to teach, befriend the other child, the bully, and find out why it's being a bully. Perhaps its parents have been awful, and that's the only way it knows. Everybody are children down here, and they need to be taught a different way.
And do you feel that that's also another purpose of the Guardians, is to bring forth a new concept and new truths, which really are old, ancient truths?
Yeah.
Okay.
To set an example.
Yeah.
When I was at school in this life, when I was younger, I'm a bit weird looking. I never had...
By the way, everybody, she's not a bit weird looking.
I am. I never had friends that were the popular ones. I used to stand in the playground when I was about 4 or 5, and I used to look at the one who was sat on the row in the corner, or the one that was being bullied, or the one that was bullying, and I'd go and make friends with them. I'd make friends with the child that was lonely, the child that was being picked on, and I'd be more determined to make friends with the school bully and find out why it's being, let it bully me, and why are you bullying me? You're not having any effect, why are you bullying me? And you'd find out they were being abused at home.
That is one of the traits that I listed as a guardian, is that we are very attracted to supporting the underdog, so to speak. You know, we're very much compassionate and really wanting to assist those that are being really picked on, you know.
So when you look at the reptilians, and you can take that lesson as well. Let's not use the word reptilian. Let's change the species to, would you go and want to destroy a lion for destroying a gazelle? It's the only thing it knows how to do. All right, yeah, it's tortured them and whatever, but that is in its breed. We need to breed a new form of reptilian. There is forms of reptilians that are very loving and very peaceful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, you know, when I interviewed Adam Apollo, he had a very interesting concept on the whole reptilian, you know, aftermath. And basically, according to some of his work and investigation, he feels that the reason that they became the race that they are known to be, you know, this particular species of reptilians, I should say, is because their DNA was supposedly stolen by the Arcturians. And he worked with a soul group, and they all had the same exact visions of this occurring. And they saw the unraveling of a whole galactic civilization, because at that time they were, you know, dragons. And they felt it was the ultimate, ultimate desecration of their own sanctuary. What do you think about that?
I've not heard that, but
very interesting.
It is very interesting. So I don't do a lot of research on things. I only can get what I've done on my own time stream, my own missions. I have come across one reptilian, as you very well know.
Mm-hmm.
And in my presence, he was subdued. And not subdued, I can't think of the right word. He was very, like if you were, you got a vicious lion and it had calmed down and started purring. He was like that. He was very calm in front of me, but the only thoughts and the only vibration I was giving him was that of love and forgiveness to him. And he came forward with me, this reptilian, and I could hand him over to my higher up team. He was very remorseful and wanted to change.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful.
So nobody was showing the amount of love and compassion that I had.
So we really need to change our knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, they don't understand. A stake won't understand your loving thoughts if all it's ever been is attacked. You can subdue a snake by mirroring it.
Wow. Wow. So
the animal is vicious, but we are creators, as I said, and things can only be what you allow them to be in your presence.
Now, does the same thing I've heard regarding, you're familiar with the MyLab situation?
Oh, yes.
I figured as much. And apparently, you know, each time that somebody is abducted, they'll see the gray, they'll see the Nordic, they'll see a reptilian. And we get a lot of emails from my lab, so-called victims, okay? And what would you say to them to assist them in their walk of terror? Literally, terror is what they experience.
It's all about self-empowerment. I do work with a lot of my labs myself as clients, and it's about self-empowerment. Once you recognize who and what you are, what you're here to do, why you have allowed that on your soul contract, why you're still allowing it, if you want it to desist, stop it. You need to empower yourself. When you get to a certain vibration within yourself, that lower aspect of that vibration can't touch you because it won't see you. You won't be on its radar. Every time you think about, oh, this happened to me last week, you resonate back on that vibration. Yeah, that was last week. What about today? Change your thoughts today. Change your resonance today. Change your contract. Have a word. I've loved going into bases and raiding them. I said, you know, we do quite a lot of that. I love doing that sort of stuff, but it's not because I want to lower myself. I still high vibe, but they run from me. They don't even want to be in my field.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. It's like, don't touch me with your resonance. They don't want to be high vibe. They're quite happy where they are. They run from us.
Yeah, and it's very uncomfortable too, from my experience. Once they have your presence around, they literally just take off screaming.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm.
It's like having that bucket of water in the Wizard of Oz and the witch. She's more scared of the bucket of water, not Dorothy. It's just like, well, we're just really high vibe. They, in people who are minor victims, need to get themselves tuned up, sit in the sun, resonate, and start working on themselves and really working out their thought forms and why they're projecting and why they agree to it.
So if you really peeled away all the layers of the onion, ultimately it gets back to a core thought that someone did something to you.
Yeah. And you want to play it out and play it out and play it out.
And in reality, you created that experience.
Yeah. You set it up for yourself. Nothing happens to us unless, you know, we've agreed to it. Even if you've done it unconsciously, because it might not be in this life, it might have been in the last life.
So does that mean that the individual themselves is actually in their own time lock? If they're looping, if they're looping over and over and over again and they're not getting it?
They need to break out of past stuff and work through it all and come out the other day, the other side. Every minute is a new minute. It's not yesterday's minute, it's this minute right now.
So essentially they're kind of stuck on the, like we were talking, like a sub-branch of a sub-branch of a sub-branch.
It's a time lock. It's a loop. We're all doing it. We're the ones of us that are conscious and breaking out of that, and we can live in the moment and not project into the past or sideways or upwards or any way. We're just here. That's breaking the time lock. And the more of us do it, the less everybody else does it.
Thank you. That's awesome. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, because you made a comment the other day about you being a librarian of the conscious streaming from the Akashic records of a ship.
Yeah.
You were saying something about how this was not the Akashic records that some people refer to. This was actually the Akashic records of the ship. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I have to be very careful what I say. So.
Okay, please do. Say what you're called to say.
Yeah, there's a ship. There's lots of ships, actually. There's conscious ships, conscious reality bubble ships, where the high vibe, guardians, light workers, star seeds have created with the galactics, in a space between the sixth dimension and the seventh dimension, and it's a conscious ship, and there's a few of them circulating around the planet. And when light workers wake up, star seeds wake up, they're brought to the ship in their astral form, and they're taught the lessons. They're in school, they're taught all sorts, but a lot, the ship is held together by consciousness, and there's light beings that that make up the ship with their own group soul. So the ships are basically conscious from my last life right up until this. That's where I spent all my time, as part of that conscious group that held the ship together. So all the souls that have been throughout time, that have gone to the point of vibration where they've woke up, I've gone to that ship. And I can access the memories are stored within that consciousness. And now I'm down here. And the way I was born, I can access that conscious memory stream.
Absolutely. Oh, that's just fascinating. So that's not, now they do say that there are Akashic records for each of the planets. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
So
it's like the conscious mind of each planet. Our planet's got a group conscious soul in it, which is connected to these ships, which is connected to all the planets, which is connected to the universe. It's streaming. But only when you get to a certain bandwidth within your consciousness can you stop accessing the Akash. You access that Akash. You go to the ship first.
Mm. And is this just because that's just the way it is, or is it because it's a protective mechanism for both the ship and you?
What do you mean?
You know, the fact that you would connect with the ship, for example, to receive those memories versus maybe the universal stream.
Well, that's just my, it's a pocket of home. That's all I can describe that as a pocket of home.
Interesting. Now, what would cause someone to go to a different ship than your ship? Is it based on soul? Is it based on experience? Is it based on where they've been?
It's based on their own soul stream. If you've come from Lyra, you'd more likely come to our ship. If you've come from the Pleiades, you might go on the Pleiadian ships. If you've come from Sirius as a starseed incarnate, you go to a Sirian ship.
And
talking about the guardians and the high resonance would come to our ship. We've created this ship in between the sixth dimension and the seventh dimension. So you've got, as soon as you resonate to that vibration, you can go to that ship.
Got it. Okay.
Because most of the other ships are all in between the fourth dimension and the fifth dimensional resonance. They go in that bandwidth. We're higher.
And the ships that we actually see within this matrix, what about those?
Oh, my God. There's so many. There's so many. You've got the Earth Alliance ships, the Secret Space Program ships, the Inner Earth ships.
A lot of ships, huh?
Lots of ships from all over.
We couldn't do it without them, could we?
No.
And they say that it's upwards to over 1 million. Would you agree with that?
A lot more than that, I should say, because it depends on, if you looked in the 3D, you've got about that in the 3D. You go to the 4D, you've got a lot going on there. You've got the 5D ships, 6D ships, 7D ships.
So let's talk about that for a second, because this is a very big piece of information that I think there's a lot of confusion about. And that is, we hear that there are quite a few galactic wars still going on. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's all being done in the fourth dimension.
Okay, so in this fourth dimension, which you, now I thought you said the fourth dimension is an artificial construct.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, and so we are...
And Earth is going through that.
Okay.
But we've still got this bubble around us, so we're in that. It's like if you can imagine a big smoky black cloud with a rainbow above it, and a bit of a rainbow below it, and the Earth's going through it.
Oh my
and the battles
God.
Are all taking place in there.
Oh my gosh. And so we actually have to do this because we're going through this artificial construct.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been going through it for quite a long time since, oh God, about, from what I know, we've been going through this for a long time, about 15,000 years maybe, something like that. We've been traveling through this 4D, and the battles are going on with all the gods and whatever, devils and demons. This is where they all do their battles. It's still going on.
And that's why so many of the light workers are really trying to track down some of those beings and bring them to a place of love and light, right?
Yeah.
Because they're very destructive. So in that process, I mean, how much longer do you see us going through that? Is it another 13,000 years?
Well, as I said, the higher the more light workers wake up, the more we can stream in the source energies into the planet, the higher the resonance of the planet. And as soon as we get, it could be a second. I don't know if you've seen the cymatics, where they get the metal plate and the sand on it.
Yes.
And they put a vibration and it goes to a certain pattern. Well, the pattern we're on is fourth dimension. But as the vibration gets higher from what we're streaming in, it's going higher in pitch, and people are hearing this, and you can't see the difference when it goes up in high pitch. If you look at those videos of it changing, 1 minute it's this pattern, next minute it's that pattern.
And that's what we're working on as kind of like soul groups within the light workers, because, you know, yeah. there's a lot of different kinds of light workers, and they're working on, you know, different components.
We're all giving the Earth our vibration because we're reaching out to the energy coming in. and it's pulling it in quicker. So we're resonating that, and we're helping the planet resonate, and then we'll get to a certain vibration of helping the planet raise its vibration and helping be the acupuncture that it will raise, and we'll automatically just be out of the fourth dimension. We just change like that, because all of us will start resonating like that. And of course, one person resonating over here and one over there is not going to do it. We need everybody vibrating.
Now, let's talk about that, because, you know, we've got about 8 billion, I'm just going to generalize it, 8 billion souls. Who knows how many we really have, right? Because, you know, taking the stats from our governments is really kind of a joke. But let's just say that there's about 8 billion souls. What percentage of those souls do you feel are the actual original Earth humans?
33%.
Wow, that's even lower than what I thought.
And it's always 33, and I know the Masons have hijacked our number, but it's 33. If you've got one light worker resonating, that resonation will go 33 miles outwards in a circle. Wow. And you've got another light worker somewhere else 33 miles away, and this is how we're doing it. And every person in that 33 miles will start harmonizing with your resonance. We don't need that many of us to harmonize.
Absolutely fascinating.
And as a group of light workers within the same vicinity get together, you've obviously felt it yourself, we start resonating higher and higher because we're together. And that goes out threefold and threefold and threefold. And if you're doing it in a high resonance place, one light worker can go out 333 miles.
So, and that's really interesting, because there is a huge augmentation of the number of light workers in Southern California, for example. Is there a reason as far as the location on the planet? I mean, I do know other...
Yeah. Some places, as you know, like Sedona, are high vibe. So it will take one light worker on a high vibe vortex, can spread its influence out a lot, lot further. It's like tapping into a highway, tapping into the Wi-Fi of the planet. Your resonance won't just go 33 miles out. It will go down and hit that ley line or that vortex, and it will push it out into all dimensions. It will push it out further. It's like going from... shouting out loud or going on a speaker, do you know, it will have that resonance. It will resonate and vibrate forever.
But would you say that why we've accumulated in specific locations in on the planet, is that because those are areas that we knew were going to be specifically targeted by the dark?
No, they've always been very high vibe places for the ancient Indians, ancient Atlanteans. They all know where the planet has its hotspots, and it attracts both sides. But the light always trumps the dark. So when one light worker stood by a vortex and starts living there, it pulls in others and others and others. Eventually, and the dark will come. But eventually, the more it's like having a match, and you're the match. Then you light somebody else's match or somebody else, and sooner or later you're a bloody great big bonfire and the moths get burnt.
Very interesting. And so we're conjoining into these particular locations because we have more
power.
More power.
Resonance.
Yeah, to spread around the world. That's really cool. What other hot spots around the world? I mean, if you could just look and see, what other hot spots around the world do you feel are just really powerful at this time as far as the gathering of light workers?
Well, since all the grid work's being done and the new grid lay is overlaid and the new PowerPoints have been put in, I'm not going to give them, but we all
Absolutely
know.
Absolutely not. Please don't.
The old ones that were hijacked have been closed down and moved, and now they've been moved again. As in, like Stonehenge used to be a dark, had been captured by the dark almost, and that's been changed now. It was Glastonbury, but now it's moved.
Do you feel that the ley lines are no longer corrupted and dominated by darkness?
No, because they've been completely, there's been that many light workers in teams still doing it even now as we speak, yeah. Going around to all the planets, all parts of the planet, and changing it and regridding. So what was an old ancient site, we've closed down and we've opened up new ones.
That's exactly.
And we don't know where the new ones are.
That's exactly what I was told too. I was told the same thing. And do you agree that there are multiple, I feel that we got a little bit more savvy in making sure that we had a number of backup plants. So we have a grid, but then we have another grid and another grid and another grid.
We have got backup plans on backup plans on backup plans.
That's what I've been told too.
Well, we've all woken up to the fact that we know how to use multiple realities and multiple timelines all at the same time. And we know how to train and we know how to practice. We know where to go to do it.
I just wish I had the conscious reality of that.
Well, you do have simulations when you go on a ship.
Yes.
You go into training and they will put you in an artificial reality and train, and we will then play out the scenario that we're going to play out, and we will see the aspect of the dark and what they're doing and how they're going to play it, and we'll just alter it, and we'll alter it, and we'll keep doing it until we know every single play that they can play.
Well, I would imagine they're doing the same, are they not?
Yes, but we're doing it in high reality, so where they think they're three steps ahead, where we've already seen the end game.
Interesting.
All the end games.
So how does this fit in with the 144,000?
That is very biblical. And I don't go into the Bible. It was written by man's hand. Mm-hmm. On his own interpretation of things. Things change, timelines change, people change, numbers change.
So would you say that the for example, the chapter on Revelations, that is pretty much...
We played that out ages ago on another timeline.
Right. Okay. That's what I thought too.
Nostradamus had all his predictions played out already, and we've probably all lived them and brought them back here and tried to assimilate. Oh God, that was an awful dream. But yeah, we've done it.
So essentially, Liara, we're everything that we have read, whether it's our truth or not, has essentially played out in some other individual timeline.
Yeah, and is playing out.
And so is that a uniqueness in this matrix reality, that we have so many timelines versus a different type of galaxy or planetary system?
It's not the timelines that make this unique.
What is it?
Normal galaxy without free will and duality would have a planet get to the pinnacle of its civilization and ascend. And that would play out throughout the whole system, and the whole system would ascend to be a conscious universe. We have got that many species and conscious souls incarnated into this system, into Earth at this time. It's not just one species doing it.
And how many species are involved, do you think? Are we talking hundreds, thousands, millions?
We've got a 3D planetary species, intergalactic species, multidimensional species.
Crazy.
Intergalactic species. Everybody wants to get involved in this game.
And why is that?
Because it's so unique.
So everybody, are they basically just mesmerized or intrigued?
They don't know how it's going to play out. It's never been done before, where multiple species, multiple dimensions, multiple consciousness, multiple source points of source from different aspects, because it's not just one source thing, it's God. There's many conscious universes that have got to its pinnacle, played it out the way we've done it, and they've all put an essence of themselves here to do this. That's why we've all got different memories of how things have happened in our own timeline, our own soul stream. It's all relevant.
Wow. So in the way that you perceive this, I'm going to call it system, do you agree that there are just an infinitum of galaxies, planets, and universes?
Oh, that's difficult. In this, I can't explain this in 3D terms. In this reality, this system we're in, we've got like a bubble. If you can, I keep saying bubbles because that's how I see it. It's like a bubble, and within this golden bubble, like an atom, you've got everything going around inside that bubble of all those universes. We've got so many bubbles, millions of them outside of that. All different universes, different realities, different ways they've done it. In a sea, what we call the void, it's just pitch black consciousness with these bubbles running through it.
Fascinating. And you had mentioned before something along the lines of we were trying to, you know, clean up all these timelines and get all the souls into the locations that they either want to be or belong. Are you feeling that as the Earth moves through this, you know, fourth dimensional movement and is able to move out of it, is that equivalent to what many are calling the event, or do you feel that we're already within the so-called event?
We've been in the event for a long time.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to use the... Oh, you're going to have to put a link to a cymatic,
okay.
Cymatic thing. You look at the sheet of black with the sand on it, and it's been vibrating at 4D for a long, long time. Well, something is causing that vibration of the 4D to make that pattern. But as it goes up in frequency, all the bits of sand start moving, jumping and vibrating higher and higher, and starts, you know, moving to the new pattern. And all of a sudden it's in the new pattern. Everybody on the planet resonating like the sand about to move, and we're all moving to the pattern, to the new place.
And this isn't something we have to be consciously aware of. It's just happening through our bodies and the stream of energies.
Exactly. We'll go to where we feels right, where we feel the resonance.
Would it assist to put groups together where they actually consciously focused on a particular sacred geometrical form?
I would go with listening to your own inner self and your own inner guidance of what you want to do.
Got it.
And let synchronicity work and the universe guide you rather than think about it. It's nothing to do with using your brain.
I love that.
It's to do with listening to your instinct, I really fancy something to eat now. What am I going to eat? And you listen to your body, what you really fancy. When your mouth starts watering, when you think of that right thing, that's what I'm going to have. It's the same sort of thing with, where am I going to go? What do I need to do? And all these sort of ideas. And when the one that really gets you excited, do that.
Very cool. Now, back to reincarnation. It has been stated that we were supposed to only experienced just a handful, maybe three incarnations, and then, you know, basically evolve into our next phase of evolvement. Can you comment on that as far as this looping of this reincarnation wheel, how it came into existence?
Yeah, I've not heard about just having three. Oh my goodness. That's not enough. It's like just going to school and just doing the first three grades. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, you go to all the grades. That's how I see reincarnation. Every time you get past the grades, you've got to do another class and another. You go up a year until you get to university and you do all of them. You do your master's and your doctorate. And then you decide, I don't want to do all that anyway. And you drop out and you do something completely different. And it's just like you've got to experience so much. And this is such a unique opportunity for all the souls to be part of this. It's like if you can merge all the universities on this planet into one super university and all the different cultures and everything. You've not even started to talk to everybody in the class yet. You know, there's so much on this planet in diversity, and then we've not even started to go out the planet yet.
Wow.
How could you possibly just do it in three lifetimes?
Well, so is this, I thought, well, let me just ask, do you feel that this reincarnation process is normal in other civilizations?
Yeah, it's done, but to the point where they do tend to live a longer lifespan. But that's to do with the harmonics of the planet, the frequency of the sun and the frequency of the planet that has been given as a shorter lifespan here. But that's changing. People are living longer. People will be living longer. And they'll get a bit more out of this life. And once we can keep our soul memories, take it through to the next life. That's how it's usually done. You usually take your experiences through to your next life.
And that way you're not just almost, you know, repeating yourself. Constantly making the same mistake over and over again.
Yeah.
Or I should say mistake in quotations, but still.
Yeah, and that's the 4D construct that has done that as well. It's made it people forget their life stream. Because if the chakras were separated, but they were also turned off. So you only use your lower three, and that should never have been done. That was the interference that was done.
So do you truly agree that those of us that have come here into this matrix, do you feel that there was kind of an election and selection process amongst trillions of souls that chose to come into such an incredibly difficult, challenging reality?
It wasn't an election. Those that heard the call came.
Okay, interesting. Did they have to have a specific type of profile or specific abilities or experience?
It's just like watching somebody fall over in the street, a child fall over in the street in a crowd of people. Do you need a qualification to run over to the child and help? Or did you just run over? Those that heard the call came.
So why is it that all of us as starseeds and light workers, why is it that we all have felt, and I shouldn't say all, but many of us have felt very tormented, targeted, challenged? If the fact that we very much deliberately made the choice to come here, and then let's just put aside the obviousness of we've gotten here and we're veiled. Are there any other reasons for that?
It's to stop us doing our job. It slows us down. But some of us, you know, stayed awake when they were born to be able to keep waking you all up when you get going back to sleep. Don't go to sleep.
Such as Liara. Thank you, Liara.
Stay awake.
Now, back to reincarnation, okay? So you said something very interesting. Now, in the other civilizations where, let's say they live, I don't know, 1,800 years, it is more smooth going, right? It's more because you have your soul memories and you have the ability to evolve. Would you say that that's what has made the reincarnation wheel significantly different here?
Yeah, see, reincarnation is usually for 3D, 4D type planets. They don't do that in 5D. That's it. You have your body and you stick with it. Or you can change your body, I thought. But yeah, it's very boring. And this is why if you live a long, long time and you keep your memory, it gets to the point where you've done everything and it's just very boring. And this is what's excited so many of the higher conscious people and beings that wanted to come here, because it's not boring, because they don't know what's going to happen next.
Is it true that those that are looking at this planet, is there like a cap on the number of people that can, you know, be born into this reality right now?
Yeah, there's been a cap. And let's tell you what, they're queuing. They've been picking up our... I can't say psychic signals or internet, but it's like our brainwaves and our thoughts and our dreams and our memories for such a long time they're so excited. They know what's going on, and the whole universe is rooting and wants to get in on it, because you're an ascended being. You've been in your reality universe. You've been there and done it all. But look what's going on down there. They've never done that. They want to get in. They want to experience forgetting who they are and trying to remember and then doing this.
Oh my God. And of course, we're here going, you may want to rethink.
Get us out. Get us out.
Just rethink that.
No, it's like going on it feels like going on a Big Dipper ride, and you're scared going up to the Big Dipper, to the top, and then you do the ride and it's amazing, and you want to do it again.
Yes, yes.
It's too quick. It went over too quick.
That's... So are a lot of the intergalactics as well as galactics... I guess I should ask you, what do you feel is the difference between an intergalactic being and a galactic being?
A galactic being's in our galaxy. An intergalactic being is coming from another galaxy, like the Andromeda galaxy, the Pegasus galaxy.
Okay. And do you feel that those galaxies are actually existent within this matrix?
Oh, yeah, they're physical.
And do you feel that they are...
out of those universes, those galaxies.
So are they in the same, they're in the same predicament that we are, as far as timelines and everything?
Yeah. See, if you can imagine, I've got a picture, I think I've sent you my artwork, of three galaxies in bubbles next to each other merging. Now, if you can imagine one supercluster galaxy, like our spiral galaxy, and the Andromeda galaxy, and the Pegasus galaxy spiral, all merged together. Making one super galaxy, but they all decided, the frequency was dropped down, so they separated into three separate galaxies, us being the lowest galaxy, the Milky Way.
Wow.
And us being the most dense part of that, which has dropped down the lowest. Well, all the other galaxies are ready to ascend. The Pegasus, Andromeda, they can't ascend until we do, because we're holding that pivotal point.
Mm.
They've got to basically raise the Earth to join back, to ascend our galaxy, to merge with their galaxy, because they can't ascend the whole galaxy as the original galaxy as a whole, unless our little tiny little blue planet goes too. But we've been held in a lock, and that's why they've never been able to ascend the galaxy.
So how does that, doesn't that negate...
It faces a stalemate with them all, where they've had to stop all the factions and the wars and come in and help us assist, because they can't ascend themselves without assisting us.
And is that like working off karma on from their own field, their own experience?
Yeah, it's holding space for us to be able to do it ourselves, to stop us being interfered with out in the universe.
So there's something in it for them. What I'm looking at is the exchange. Something in it for them.
The exchange is the minute they can't, the Pegasus galaxy wants to ascend. The Andromeda galaxy wants to ascend. Milky Way wants to ascend. All the planets in our galaxy want to ascend. They can't ascend because it's in a lock and it's part of the galaxy. It's...
Mm.
And we're the last cog, the last bit to, once we ascend and unlock and join the rest of the time space, then the whole galaxy can ascend.
Wow.
It's got to do it as a whole. It's like you can't ascend and leave your left little toe on its own.
Yes, yes. And there's this divine plan of all of these different species coming together and unifying in order to really heal the greater good of the all. And I find that interesting, that on a microcosmic level, you had a similar situation with the forming of the Declaration of Independence within the United States.
Mm. Everything that we've done on this planet is doing on the micro what we don't want to have happen again on the macro.
Mm. So, Simon Parkes has said many times that he feels all eyes are on the USA and that it is one of the key areas on the planet. Can you, talk a little bit about that? How do you see that?
That's again like the macro on the micro, because so many immigrants went over to America from all over the world to try and live together.
Wow, so
we're every country, England to the degree has got a lot of people from other countries merged here, but it's only small, mm-hmm. where America's larger landmass, and you've got people from origins from all over the planet living together and trying to work it out, and that's doing it on the map, you know, the earth-wise, to get it to work together. And then you're not just looking at earthlings there, you've got star seeds from all over the universe, interdimensionals incarnated in bodies there, you've got everything mixed together in the United States trying to work it out.
So when you talk about all the different types of species, because you said there's just so many, you know, here and that are involved and fully active in this transition, who do you feel are the major players, for example, for science? You know, we hear a lot about kind of categorizations of specialties of each of the star races. Can you kind of go over that a little bit with us?
I don't know too much about, because I don't work with individual species. I work with a community of all different, and the higher, because I go to my ship, there's so many different races, and it's all conscious, it's not technical, it's not scientific, it's all known, and if I know it, they know it, if they know it, I know it. It's not like if we don't have a set breed, or you're scientists, or there's, if I don't know how to do it, I'll just tap into the bit of the consciousness that knows how to do it, and then I can get it. You don't need individual people knowing the specific thing, because the community know it.
And that seems to be more common for me when I have memories of going up on the ship, is I'm dealing with a ton of different species. So is that more common to have the you know, the unity of a lot of different kinds of ships, or is it just as common to have like a Sirian ship?
Yeah. Well, you can have a Sirian ship. We only deal with Sirians. I've never just been on a Sirian ship. I've dealt with Sirians who've been on our ship.
Yes. Yes.
So, and it's just, and people go, what are the names? Where do you come from? And I said, it's so, it is really hard when you're communicating on that conscious level. As soon as you get on that ship, you become part of the consciousness of the ship. You know every person that's on the ship. You don't just know them, you know every single thing about them, every conscious thought they've ever had, ever will have. It's all part of that group. So it's just like, you don't go and go, what's your name? Because you know everything about them. You want to know where they've come from. You get a download of their star map, and they're part of a dimension in space. You don't just get a, hi, my name's Jack, because they know everything about you. Because it's just, and talking with your mouth just doesn't happen. So it's just like, I'll go on the ship, and it's like, everyone knows me. I know them.
And there's no secrets. There's no deception. Everything's just out on the table.
Exactly. And there's no point even trying to deceive, because you couldn't even try.
Man.
It's really hard for us down here as well, as when you get to a certain point with your awakenings and your leveling ups, that if you try to lie, I could lie, but it would become manifest and it would become a reality. So you can't lie. So you have to be careful, very careful what you say and what you think, because it will become a reality. So you can't lie. There's no point.
So basically, Liara, what you're also indicating is that is our next wave of our future, is learning that our thoughts are creating things.
Yeah. At the minute, we're all doing it, but there was a lag. And they sort of kick the can, what we call kicking the can. You just kick the can, you do this, and you sort of hope that you don't have to sort out when you get to that can. You know, you pop your clocks before you have to deal with it, and then you find you've come back again to deal with it.
Oh, God.
Eventually, there's been no kicking of the can. As soon as you kick that can, it'll come back and kick you back.
Oh my gosh. And that's something you foresee happening in our lifetime now?
It's happening all the time now. The higher awareness that you get, the quicker it happens.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Now, one of the hottest topics right now is Nibiru. Can you tell us a little bit about how you see that? Does that exist in your opinion? And if so, how is that going to impact us?
I believe that some people believe it exists, so they will create that and they will have that experience.
Yeah, and that'll be a different time.
You can't, this is free will. You can't deny other beings' cultures, their experience. If you don't want to have it, just jump a timeline.
Say, you know what? I don't want to be in that timeline where they're going to...
They want to have it. You can't deny another being's experience. They want to have it, let them have it.
Interesting.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist to a group of people and to the neurobians. It does exist, but...
So tell us a little bit about Agartha. How do you see it? How does that... What role does Agartha play in this whole transition as well?
Because they're higher beings, they will assist a lot, help us do our jobs, basically, because we can't possibly help all the sleeping masses once they get the alarm clock and wake up and it's everything's completely different. There's too many of them and not enough of us to help.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be helping.
And do you agree that there is a large group of lion beings, Pashats, that are in Agartha?
I've never met any lion beings within Agartha. I've met them on ship.
Okay, interesting. And now there's something that's come out lately with Corey Good about the honeycombing of the earth. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I follow Corey Good. I think he's really relevant.
Okay.
He does give a lot of information out, but he doesn't give it out quick enough, obviously.
So what do you see? Can you expound upon that? Because I think that's something everybody would really need to hear about.
What would you like me to expand upon? There is nothing that he says that is dishonest.
Well, that's good to hear.
I resonate very much with what he's saying. But the sphere beings and the inner earth that he talks about are just one small fraction of the actuality of what's playing out in higher dimensions.
And the honeycombing of planet Earth is, it makes it, I don't know, I was talking with someone the other day, it kind of made us think.
That is a fact. There is honeycombing, this extensive tunnels back from before the last ice age. They didn't travel, and like the whole of Northern Europe was covered in ice. They dug under the ground. There's tunnels that go all the way from Scotland to Turkey, all around the world, all across the under the Atlantic, all across America, and they go into these honeycomb places. But they have resonant shielding up, which makes them higher vibe within the cities.
And I mean, the question I had is within that honeycomb system, because we know that there's just a ton of different tunnel networks, you know, down below. Is it applicable that there are dimensional frameworks within those?
Yeah, they are dimensional. The Agarthans, the Talosians all have what you'd call a shield or bubble around their cities to protect them. So you'll have underground dumb bases. They don't have that. They'd just be underground caverns. But they wouldn't have the resonant field around them to protect them.
So basically,
frequency.
Yeah, I was going to say. So basically, a lot of these underground bases where there's just like horrific stuff being done, those are really in their own frequency, their own bandwidth. Are they protected from that? Are they sealed off from that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I said before, you know, a lot of them are getting ready to have the frequency of the surface be the same as so they can come and go, because there is going to be a lot of coming and going between civilizations, and those doorways need to be opened. You know, the seal between the two frequencies needs to be buffered and opened.
Oh gosh, it's so exciting. Now, Liara, tell me a little bit about how you see the difference between a stargate, a vortex, and a portal.
Right. A vortex is just a ley line, and it's just spinning energies like a whirlwind. And it's just a column of energy. You can sit in it and channel, you know, send your vibes out a bit further. It's not a traveling device. A portal, you can travel interdimensionally around the world, interplanetary, in a portal. A stargate is the same sort of thing as a portal, but it will go intergalactically.
Right on.
Which is completely different from one galaxy to another, where a portal could just jump planets within that system.
And these stargates, I know they have a specific numerical signature or like a language of light.
The frequency specific. You could go to a stargate, but you couldn't go through it unless you're frequency specific. We've all got codes in our DNA.
Interesting. Now, when you say frequency specific, you're not talking from, say you're on the ground, boots on the ground within the Earth or yeah. On the Earth. Is the Stargate going to be affected by, let's say the Stargate is on a military base, for example. Does mm-hmm. that mean that it's going to be affected negatively by the...
They wouldn't be able to use it.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear.
I'm just trying to see what I can say. There's a few stargates, and if somebody who's not got the correct, and I'm not talking about DNA here, because DNA is just the suit we're in, but if you're not vibrating on the right frequency and you put your hand on a stone on a certain site, and you weren't switched on and have your higher frequency and your higher selves all activated, nothing would happen. Now, if you were completely chakra aligned and all put in the right place and completely awake and got all your frequency switched on and a frequency to what's outside this lock, you could turn it on and use it. The frequency specific, so only when humanity get to a certain point or people get to a certain point can they use it, because they would be switched on enough to be able to use it.
Interesting. Wow.
You're not going to have a kid go through a portal and end up in another part of another dimension, because when you switch them on and you go through, you have to know how to use your consciousness to direct you through it. Otherwise, you just end up anywhere.
So that's you're referring to teleportation, are you not?
No, it's not teleportation.
No, it's different than that. It's actually actually literally traveling from one location to another.
Do you know anything about quantum physics or quantum mechanics? Everywhere in the universe is an aspect of you. And they resonate all the time on different frequencies, and they're in different places. When you become awakened, you can tune in. If you want to go to, say, Venus, you can tune into the aspect of you in Venus and resonate at that and touch the stone, and you'll be automatically there.
Sign me up. You talk a lot about Venus on your Facebook page. I noticed you have a few postings here and there about Venus. How is Venus playing a role in our experience right now on planet Earth?
I can't say too much, but I know after we've met the US civilizations, they'll be the first off planet to come and say hi.
Right on. And are there...
They have interacted the most with us. People think it's the Pleiades, but it's actually not. They're the most similar to us.
Well, doesn't that go back to the landing on U.S. soil at the White House?
Yeah,
the Venusians.
What was his name?
Val? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. I'm just thinking, I keep seeing Thor in my head. Valiant Thor, that's it. Or I was seeing Thor from the Avengers in my head.
Thor. So you had also mentioned to me what we really need to be doing now to either expand or accelerate this uplift, and you know how to work with and positively feed these energies and ourselves within. Can you talk a little bit about that before I let you go? We're getting close to the end of the hour. We have
gone so quickly.
Yeah, we have about maybe 10 minutes.
I'm really rubbish at doing, this is why you don't see me, I'm really rubbish at doing videos and stuff like that, but I was guided to do a video about how to get to the next stage with your chakra system to get it back to what it should be, so with the same as the planet.
Right on.
Because all the chakras, as I said, were separated and put within our bodies, as you know them, as a seven chakra system. And we've been working on the lower three and switching them on. And by now, most of the light workers would have switched on all the chakras. And the thing is to, you've got to align them back to your heart and expand them outwards one at a time from your lowest to your highest. So you're sat within a rainbow bubble. So you're sat within a firewall, and that's where your chakras should be, coming from the heart out. And then you're like the earth then, with the aura around you and the light golden column coming through you into the ground and fill up the golden light. And that is how we should be. And so then once the planet's done it, and we've got getting the full energies through that, because you're not burning out your little system, your tiny little chakras, they're on the right place, they're on the outside of you. And it will help everybody. That's a rainbow body, and it will help everybody.
So that was part of the interference when we arrived here.
Yeah.
And, you know, some say we don't need a chakra system. We just need to get rid of the chakra system.
No, there shouldn't be. Every other being on the universe has the chakras. You've heard of Merkaba. Well, it's almost like a rainbow bubble with it. In bubbles with all your gold on the inside. But what happened was they were all closed down, separated, and put within your body.
Wow.
And they should be not within your body. They should be attached to your heart, but out of your body, just exactly like the earth. You've got the earth core with the in top and bottom openings, with the lights, with the auroras streaming out, but they stream around the body, don't they, of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we should be. But we're not. We've got them all separated and inside. And when that energy comes through, it's burning out your chakra systems, because they shouldn't be on the inside.
So what you're saying is, if people follow your instructions on your Facebook page, are they literally activating and repositioning their chakra systems by doing that?
Yeah.
And
I tell you how to do it, and I've put a few of Ryan DeRoan's videos on there. He does an excellent how to clear your stream before you do it. It's really important before you even start doing the chakras is to have them switched on in the first place. Yeah. Have them cleared and do sun charging before you even attempt to do my activation.
So we will go ahead and put that link also up on YouTube so people can refer to it and make sure that everybody follows through on that. If they're going to follow through on this process, what is the ultimate advantage that they will feel?
That they've got, it's like the difference between having a firewall on your computer and not having a firewall on your computer.
Mm.
Anybody who's resonating in, say, the lower chakra 3D vibration and they're sending energy to you, well, you've got that on the furthest outside of your bubble, and any energy they send you which is negative will be trapped there. Any information they send you on that level will be trapped there until you're ready to deal with it. And the closer to your vibration they come, the higher vibration, they will come to that bandwidth. So you will know which bandwidth they're on. And what, say the coming from the heart, your green ring will circle around you, will vibrate, and you'll get all the information there. And when you're ready to do it, you can read it. It's like almost a messaging service.
Yeah, and so it's like you're able to pull in whatever information that you need, right?
Yeah, so the only thing, when you're in the middle of it, you're in your golden bubble, and you've got your light golden light coming all the way through your body into the earth. The only information that you're truly streaming is from source to the planet all the time. But if you want to get outside information, you can go into whatever bandwidth, or you can put it, you put it out, and people will only get the information of the bandwidth they're resonating on. So you can't give information they're not ready for. You can't give vibration they're not ready for.
Wow.
And it stops any negative attacks. If you've got implants or anything like that, well, you try putting an implant in the bonfire.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's amazing. And you also talked a lot to me about what is the ultimate thing that we need to do right at this moment. Can you talk a little bit about that before I let you go?
The ultimate thing is to work on yourself right now. Be selfish, and if you've got children, find a minute in the day to go and sit and sun charge. Charge your sun. Even if you're not doing my activations, charging the sun and send the energy to the planet, to the heart of the planet, to your heart, back up to the sun, back out to the energy, and try and imagine a gold stream constantly flowing through you. Everything else will fall into place when you do that.
It is so true. And to connect with the sun and the crystal core of Mother Earth, and to see yourself as a conduit as well, mm-hmm. as a connection point for those two is just so empowering. It's just so empowering.
Everyone talks about love, and we are love. That's what we are, not who we are. That's what we are. Why go looking for it? Why trying to find it? Why trying to give it to everybody else? If you're trying to give it to somebody else, it's saying that they're lacking. Mm. This is what we are. So it's about centering yourself, getting your balance, and getting your light pulled into the planet, and she'll give you so much back.
Right on. Thank you for that. And you also talked a little bit about stop creating the mess that you complain about.
Yep, exactly. If you're creating, you've not got yourself in tune, you've not got your thoughts in tune, you're not coming from your heart, you come in from your mind, and you complaining about this, that, and the other. Well, stop creating it. Start looking at what you thought you're having about things. Start looking at every single aspect of thought you're having, and stop complaining about it, because you've created it.
And a lot of times we make choices a long time ago, mm-hmm. that we're now facing. I mean, there's just so many of us that are going through a huge leap in this last 30 days. And supposedly, Liara, there's a very massive wave that's hitting on the, I think it's the 26th of September.
We're feeling it right now, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
Over the last couple of hours I've been chatting, we've already had the moon eclipse, which is going to be cleansing any energies left coming from the moon. And the streaming will come quicker, a lot quicker.
Right on.
But the quicker, the higher we resonate, the more light we pull in, the quicker that resonance can get here.
Well, there you go, folks. You heard it from Liara. And Liara, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. We have both spoken, and if you are anything like me, you're going to feel that this was extremely beneficial to hear the information that she has to share. This will not be the only interview we will have. In fact, I'm planning on doing a series of interviews with Liara. So what I would ask everyone to do is to send us an email. You know, I don't have a lot of time to get up on Facebook, etc. There's just not enough hours in the day. But if you can send us an email to admin@galacticconnection.com and send us your questions, so that I can canvas them and ask Liara in our next session. And of course, we'll cover whatever she and I feel are necessary at the time, but we will also try to canvas some of the questions that are probably coming up in all of the consciousness out there. And you know, we really want to make this be a cooperative venture for all of us. And I'm stoked about this interview. I feel like it's every part of what you say just completely aligns with what I feel to be true, and also what I myself have received in my own messages. So, Liara, thank you so much. And if you want to check out our Facebook page, remember, you will do a search for Liahra, which is L-I-A-H-R-A. And stay tuned for our next session. Please drop us a line and let us know what you thought about this one. And we want to thank you again for staying up late tonight, Liahra. I know you're over there across the pond in the United Kingdom. And we really appreciate your presence and your support for all of humanity and beyond.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, everyone, lots of love. Continue to check out Galactic Connection, and please continue to support us in any way you deem fit to do so. We do provide a lot of stuff free, gratis, for the world and beyond. So continue to visit our site and see all the new things that are coming out. Okay, we'll talk to you soon, and hope you enjoy this as much as we did. Lots of love, everyone. Stay tuned.